Welcome back to Vasper Today. This is our special Q&A segment where we dig even deeper into the stories we covered in the main episode. We've got some fantastic questions from listeners around the world, so let's jump right in.
Absolutely. First up, Layla from Stockholm writes in, if European banks are all in on this Chivalis Euro stablecoin, what does that actually mean for people working in fintech or payments in Europe? Should startups be worried about competing with a bank-backed stablecoin?
Great question, Layla. The fascinating part is, Chivalis isn't just another stablecoin. It's a coordinated move by major banks to set the standard for digital euros. For fintech startups, this could be a double-edged sword. On one hand, you get a regulated, interoperable digital euro to build on, which could make cross-border payments and compliance much easier. But on the flip side, banks are essentially setting the rules of the game, an act which could crowd out smaller players or force them to integrate with Chivalis infrastructure.
Right. And let's be real. When banks get together, they don't always play nice with outsiders. If you're a startup, you'll need to watch for potential gatekeeping. But there's also opportunity. If you can build killer apps on top of Chivalis or offer services banks can't, you might actually benefit from the legitimacy and reach this brings. So it's not all doom and gloom, but agility and partnerships will be key.
Exactly. The next year is going to be a test of who can adapt fastest, incumbents or innovators.
Speaking of adapting, Tom from New York asks, with Trump's executive order pushing the Fed to open up master accounts to crypto firms, could this actually backfire? What are the risks if fintechs and crypto startups get direct access?
That's a sharp angle, Tom. Let's dive deeper. The risk here is that opening the doors too wide could introduce new vulnerabilities into the core payment system. If a lightly regulated crypto firm gets a master account and something goes wrong, say a hack or a compliance failure, it could ripple through the entire financial infrastructure. The Fed's job is to balance innovation with systemic risk, and this order puts them on a tightrope.
And let's not forget, some of these crypto firms move fast and break things. That's great for innovation, but not so great when you're talking about the plumbing of the US economy. There's also the question of regulatory arbitrage. Will firms shop for the loosest rules? If the Fed isn't careful, we could see a race to the bottom on compliance.
Absolutely. The challenge in 2026 is to create a framework that lets new players in, but with guardrails strong enough to protect the system. It's a high-stakes experiment.
Next up, Rodrigo from Lima wants to know, how does Solana's Alpenglow upgrade actually achieve 150 millisecond finality? Is this just marketing hype, or is there real tech behind it?
Love the technical curiosity, Rodrigo. Here's what's really going on. Alpenglow introduces a new consensus mechanism that leverages parallel processing and pipeline validation. Instead of waiting for a full block to be confirmed, transactions are validated in micro-batches, allowing the network to reach consensus almost instantly. Validators are also running upgraded hardware and optimized networking stacks, which cuts down latency dramatically.
Okay. But is this sustainable? I mean, if you need supercomputers to run a validator, doesn't that just centralize the network?
That's the trade-off. Solana's pushing the limits of hardware, so it does raise the bar for participation. But the team claims they're working on ways to keep validator requirements reasonable. The real test will be when Alpenglow hits mainnet later this year. If it delivers on speed without sacrificing decentralization, it could set a new standard.
So for developers, it's worth watching. But maybe don't throw out your old code just yet.
Exactly. Now, Aiden from Toronto asks, with Strategy Inc. holding 4% of all Bitcoin, could this concentration actually make the market less stable? What happens if they ever decide to sell?
Ooh, the contrarian take. I love it. Everyone's cheering Saylor on, but what if he flips the script?
It's a valid concern. When a single entity holds that much Bitcoin, they become a systemic risk. If Strategy Inc. ever needed to liquidate a big chunk, say, due to a corporate crisis or regulatory pressure, it could trigger a cascade of selling and spook the entire market. On the flip side, their long-term holding could reduce day-to-day volatility, but it concentrates power and influence.
And let's be honest, no one wants to be at the mercy of one company's treasury decisions. It's a bit like the old days when central banks could move markets with a single announcement. So while institutional adoption is great for legitimacy, it also means we need to think about new kinds of risk.
Exactly. Diversification and transparency are going to be crucial as more corporates jump in.
Last one for today. Arjun from Mumbai writes, after the ThorChain exploit, what practical steps can DeFi users take to protect themselves? Is there any way to know which protocols are actually safe?
Great question, Arjun. Here's the practical reality. No protocol is 100% safe, but you can stack the odds in your favor. Look for projects with regular, independent audits, active bug bounty programs, and transparent incident reporting. Also, check if they have insurance funds or rapid response mechanisms. ThorChain's quick trading halt, for example, limited losses.
And don't forget the basics. Never keep more funds in a protocol than you can afford to lose, and spread your assets across different platforms. If a project is promising sky-high yields with little explanation, that's a red flag. Sometimes boring is better when it comes to your money.
Absolutely. The industry's getting better at responding to threats, but as users, we have to stay vigilant and informed.
That's a wrap for our Q&A segment. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions. Keep them coming, because your curiosity drives these conversations.
And as always, whether you're building, investing, or just watching from the sidelines, we're here to help you make sense of the wild world of crypto in 2026. See you next time on Vasper Today.